Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Ed Dufresne. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. How many were here last night? Glory to God. Aren't you glad you came? You need to get the tape and continue. I'm going to get the tape because there's things that came out of my spirit that what the Lord said that we're going to be doing. Hallelujah. And how we've been going to Russia, and then God is going to, the bamboo curtain is going to come down. And because of that connection that we have with Russia, God is going to open China to us. And it's got more people than the whole world, I guess. And that's the last precious fruit of the earth where we're going to preach the gospel. One of them. There's other places that still haven't heard the gospel. But that's the one. But that bamboo curtain is going to come down. That's what the Spirit of God said last night. And now's the time to redirect, and we need to follow the Holy Ghost and be led by the Spirit of God. You know, it'd be something to when a door opens and you don't go through it because, well, what about finances? Well, what about resources? Well, what about this? If God opens the door, you walk through it, and He'll provide it. Yeah, I made a statement last night, and, you know, being in the will of God, you get your bills paid. But let me clarify that, too. And obedience always creates an atmosphere for miracles. And all my life, now, I didn't say I had abundance. And all my, when I've been in the will of God, God has taken care of me. I've always been able to pay my bills. Hallelujah. He's always taken care of me. Glory be to God. Because obedience always creates an atmosphere for miracles. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, you got your Bibles with you? We're going to talk about 2005. We talked last night, 2003 is what? The year of preparation. 2004 is a year of more. As we prepare, God is going to provide finances and more preparation. So really, what is this? This is February. So actually, we almost got 2 years, couple months shorter than 2 years, to get ready for 2005. 2005 is the year of judgment on the church. Glory to God. So we need to have everything straightened out. I mean, if you can't get things straightened out in almost 2 years, our motives, why we do things, our attitudes. Because I'm telling you, you won't be here. There'll be many ministries that won't be here after the year 2000 comes and goes. Then what did we say about 2006? It's going to be such a strong move of the gifts of the Spirit. And then we'll be up and running, which I have said for about 6 years now when the Lord told me you'll be up and running. The church will be up and running in this new revival 2007. So you check your notes out and go through that and meditate on it and get the tape and listen to it. That's the reason I raised you from the dead. That's the reason I raised you and I alerted you and I arrest you not to go that way. But you're the one in this day and in this revival that I'll be able to use you in a mighty way. That's what the Spirit of God said. How can that little lady do that? How can that little lady do that? How can that little lady do that? By my anointing, by my Spirit, and by my anointing that I have placed upon thee. Yotamosi, much favor will come to you. Much favor. People will come in that big city, just come to you. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just like you. I just like you. Shedemiah, and it'll all come to pass. It will surely come to pass. It'll all come to pass. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go over here, and I want to share some things The Lord said that we'll pick up tonight on part of some of the things that were said last night. As a minister, you keep saying things over and over and over. But you know, every time you preach it, the word is just as fresh. But to you, it seems like, well, they've heard that before, but they really haven't heard it. They didn't really hear it the first time. They didn't hear it the second time. They didn't hear it the fifth time. You got to keep saying it over and over and over again. I've learned that in pastoring. I learned that when I pastored for 8 years. Had a church there in Torrance, California. It grew from 12 people in 8 years to 1,000 people per week. And it was a wonderful church. It was one of the leading cutting edge churches in the word of faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now God's raising. You know, somebody came and asked Dad Hagen, well, last 15 years, well, what's God doing in these days? He said he's raising up strong local churches, preach the word in the spirit. When I went to heaven in 99, God made mention of him saying that. He said the reason why I had him say that and teach on that and raise what I'm doing is because that's where I'm going to put the precious fruit of the earth. How many of you know there's just not fruit here in America? There's still a lot of fruit here in America, but how many of you know there's China, Russia, Fiji Islands, the Philippine Islands? There's fruit all over. And he's not going to come. I mean, everybody get the, every year they have to get their charts lined up. Jesus is not coming until we get the precious fruit of the earth. So he's waiting on us. Did you hear, while we're waiting on the right? No, he's waiting on us to get in position and start moving out. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have our orders. We have our direction. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Dispositions of the Spirit. Dispositions of the Holy Ghost. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. Working of miracles. Gifts of healings will operate in a strong way in 2006. But what about 2005, the year of judgment to the local church? I'm not talking about the world. The world judgment's coming. But I'm talking about the church. Everything better be bolted down. Thank you. Amen. Glory be to God. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. We were just over John Larkham's church there in Austin, Texas, where it never has snow or ice. But it's a new day anyway. But we were over there. We made mention of this here. I want to go a little different direction because this scripture here applies. There's two meetings here. There's two meetings. One is discerning the Lord's body when he hung on the cross. By his stripes we were healed. That body. But also on the other side of that, it also means the body of Christ. Isn't that right, scholar? And so it means the body of Christ. Now, I had to learn some things. I don't know about you, by hard knocks. There was no Rhema. There was no Bible school when I started out. And the rest of them, I'm glad I never went. They would have talked me out of God or the power. A lot of it I was taught, you know, a lot from my spiritual father, but other by bumping my head and God speaking to me and teaching me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And today you got, I mean, churches like this church has Bible school and there's so many ways where the Word of God's getting out, but we didn't get it back then. We were in a traditional church that taught you that God put sickness and disease on you to teach you something. You know, kill you in an airplane for your family would get something out of it. No, the only thing they'll get out of it is a bill for the funeral. Right. Bitterness if they don't know God. Anyway, and the Lord, see, there's some causes why things don't work for Christians. When you get in a funeral and you hear somebody say, God giveth and God take away. But right away, I know that's wrong. See, when you know the Word of God, you know you kick that out. When things are not working for you, always remember this, there is a cause and it's never on God's side. It's always on this side. It's on this side here, not up in heaven and on up. It's on this side. Can you say amen? And you try to you try to bring this across people. In America, well, in the world today, I was appalled to see Americans and put President Bush on the front of a magazine with a clown nose. I mean, just absolutely dishonor our president. I didn't like President Clinton. As far as I'm concerned, he was a dog personally, but he operated in an office and he was our president. People ask me, well, you know, what would you do if he walked up to you? I would salute him. I would salute the office. And I don't know if you ever notice it, what they do with President Bush today. I don't know if you what you notice what they do when he comes up to that helicopter, they salute him, and then when he goes by them, they turn around and they salute his back. They never did that to Clinton because they didn't respect it. They respect that office in front of them, but when he turned his back, they didn't salute him. But we got a man with a stick now. We got a man that has a backbone. Can you say amen? And I'm going to, oh my, I better be careful here. But I'm going to tell you, those people over in Europe better get on the stick, because I want you to know when they were in trouble, we bailed them out, and the Germans bombed every one of them, and we went over there and paid the tab to fix their buildings and everything else. That's dishonor. Boy, people forget real fast. Went over to Dad Summerall's grave here recently and walked up, and there was weeds all around. I said, how fast they quit forgetting about you. You listening to me? I was down in Peru, and I kept hearing this in my spirit. How you receive is how you're going to be rewarded. The reason a lot of Christians are not rewarded is because they don't receive right, because they got their honor all messed up. In Jesus' hometown, they dishonored him, and he could do no miracles. Isn't this Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? Familiarity, and he could do no. He might have healed a couple of headaches or something, but he could do no great work. And there's churches full of where God can't move because of that. Can you say amen? I'm appalled. I don't know, but you ought to be appalled. Glory to God. Because that goes right along with in the spirit realm. Yeah, how you honor your pastor is how you're going to receive the things that you need to grow up spiritually in this life. If he's just Michael to you, you ain't going to receive nothing. What you're going to do is just receive. You're just going to receive from a natural man, but you won't receive from the mantle because of that dishonor. When you see him as Pastor Michael Jacobs, you see there's a difference, and you're receiving. Now look at here. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I've seen it in ministers' homes. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in ministers' homes where they don't even recognize a great man of God in their midst. That's just dad. But they don't recognize the anointing that is upon him. And even children, it's been proven out generation after generation after generation that they did not receive the blessing from that ministry is because they lived in that home and they had a spirit of familiarity. That's just dad. I'll never forget my oldest daughter one time late 70s, about the time when I met you, Pastor Ed, and my daughter started shaking under the power of God. She was about 16 and crying, and we got in the back, and she said, Daddy, Daddy, she started hugging me. She said, the Lord showed me. She showed me in the spirit that you was a general for God, and I never seen that before. And she was weeping. She said, you're a man of God. You're a prophet of God. I never said nothing to her. Amen. Glory to God. So we do our best. We do, you know, everything that's within us to teach our children to honor. When we have fresh oils and our kids are around preachers and they, and you know, say, how you doing, Stephen? Boy, that's a nice truck. We, huh? No, we don't teach them to say, huh? Yes, sir. Huh? You know, some mom and dads, sorry if I go down this road, I'm going to get over here. And mom and dad says, oh, God, do something with our children. He already did. He gave them a parent. And he said in the Word of God, raise them up in the law, in the ways of the Lord. I'll do something for that child. Yeah, he did. He gave him a parent. Your job is to raise him up. I go to some men. Now, if I touch on your toes, I know I'm, you know, we're close to Tennessee where the God, football God lives. But I'm upon, I go to some churches and the wife ain't there on Wednesday night. She says, well, little Teddy, he had a football game. And you, I make a mental note. You watch through the years because I always ask, well, whatever happened to their kids? They taught them that it's all right to miss church for that game. And when they get old enough, that's the way they'll depart. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your friend. I've come here to give you the Word of God. I want you to make it through 2005. Because there's a lot of them going to do it. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. Then there's those who are going to. Now look at over here in 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and let a man examine his neighbor, examine his wife. No, it said let a man or woman examine herself or himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I always say, for this cause many are wimpy, weak, no boldness, sickly among you. They're always sickly. They're always in the healing lines because they're sick. And many sleep or many die premature. Now, right there is ought to answer. There is a cause why Christians don't make it or die premature. There's always a cause. Sometimes we know as ministers, a lot of times God will give them a clue with their people in the church why that happened. Sometimes he'll tell them, it's none of your business. So the secret things belong to the Lord. Otherwise, that was between them and that person. But there's always a cause. Glory be to God. I am never, never going to get turmoil and get into the wise at a friend's funeral. Well, I wonder why that happened. I just know there was a cause. And it went ungodly. And besides that, that doesn't mean it was a complete defeat because they're in heaven. And the Bible says to gain heaven is gain. So they're in shouting in heaven. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get jealous. Well, I do. I mean, have you ever longed for heaven? I have. Many times, I just long. I get out there in the spirit somewhere. I say, hey! I've been out there. I've been out there where it's scary. I went to heaven. I said, I want to stay up here. You can't describe it. No pain, no pressure. There's no, the temperature is the same. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. No, but when you got to go back, it's because you got a job here on this earth. We got a job to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The other day, and Dad Hagen was down in, I don't know how publicly I can say this. I guess it's all right. And he was having a seminar down there, for 2-week seminar, and Mom Hagen died. She died. And went in there. She stopped breathing. She was dead. And Dad went there. No, Lord, not yet. Not during the meeting. We got to have a more appropriate time where everybody would get do it. Not yet. Come back to life. Now see, Christian, that blows them out. Because why? He has a relationship with God. And, of course, he's kept Mom Hagen alive for many, many years. She was going to die when she was young. Was that Gorder? She was going to die as a young person. Glory to God. That's a relationship with God. I said, that's a relationship with God. Then if you listen to what Dad's through the years, he said, now when he's 87, him and the Lord are going to talk and have it out. You could say have it out or whatever. Should I stay or should I go? He's going to be 86 in August, so another year after that, he'll be 87. Let's see what happens and see who wins out here. But that just does something to me to see that you're in control. And he said something that blows me out. He said, you know, I work more on my love walk than I do my confession for healing for my body. He knows if I walk in love, the devil can't touch you. Get out of love. Have a marriage full of strife. I'm going to have my way, selfishness. The divorce courts are full of people that stop dishonoring one another. And it's selfishness. I didn't get my way. I'm going to prove it to them. By God, I'm going to have my way. Amen. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to punish him. He ain't going to touch me. Oh, but you're not even going by the Bible. You're not even going to the Bible because your body don't belong to you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory be to God. These are things that has to be said. These are things that have to be set in motion. For this cause. How many of you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. There's a cause here. And this affects every area in the body of Christ. I remember a young man that I had working for me many years ago when God started dealing with me this scripture. And I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle where you turn over somebody over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that their soul might be saved. Because I'm a faith person. I couldn't. God is love. I mean, what do you mean turn somebody over to Satan? I didn't understand that till I got older and God started teaching me and getting mature and you see some things. And sometimes you have, that's part of church discipline. See, My wife has house rules. She has house rules. That's her home. She has house rules. My son, and of course he'll be 18 in a month and a half, but he can't date until he's 18. That's the house rules. That's it. You know that God's got house rules? Why are we doing that for some? Well, we know where he is mentally. We know where he's at spiritually. And we know all about glands and everything else and the things that are going on in the world and his maturity and everything else. And what is it? It's a guardrail around his life to protect him where he won't get out there and get in trouble. And we got girls that are going by the house looking for him. He's got girls phoning him. He's got girls. And then we got girls, moms that are in the church trying to set him up. And they know my wife's house rules. The boy's lost his big jacked up truck I don't know how many times for breaking the rule, house rules. I said, son, those girls will get you in trouble. He said, yeah, I know, Dad, I'm finished with it. But the deal is that you have to fight with the daughters, the mothers, the 14-year-olds, and then the mothers trying to set them up, and they know my wife's house rules. And let me tell you something, when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. I'm telling you. Glory be to God. Can you say amen? And I go by the house rule. I remember one time, I'll get back to this young man. I remember one time, my wife was, and she's going to make me be in there because she's the discipline, because I'm always gone. So she just whips, you know, those boys, you know. And one day they got all in trouble, and so, all right, up to the bedroom, says, now come on, Daddy. She, you know, come on, Dad, you're coming up there too. Well, why am I going there? I didn't do anything. You know, no, you're going to be here because when you're in town and so forth. And she started, you know, Grant said, I'll take it first. And my wife, she went, wham! He got two and Stephen got four, and he was trying to make that a big court issue. I mean, take your bitches down there, you know, the belt right on there. That's what that's made for. To, you know, just sting it up real good and wham! Oh, that's child abuse. Give me a break. My God. And wham, wham, and pulls his pants up, and he said something about melding me. He said, thank you, Mama, for keeping me straight. Now, Stephen, it's different. Ah! It's unfair. And I mean, he flops around and everything. And I have, and when Grant said that, I broke down. I mean, I'm having a hard time with this. And then she starts Stephen. Wah, 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 you know, and trying to whip him, you know, it's like whipping a, you know, a wild horse, you know. Just. And then the dog came in, and the dog got upset and peed on the floor. And she said, when I get done, I'm going to beat that dog. And I said, I'm getting out of here, please. You're going to beat me next. She said, you get back in here, you're not leaving. Well, there's house rules. You see, and you have a daddy, you have a spiritual father, you have a pastor. And God's got house rules. There are certain things that will not be tolerated. Now, I'm going to say something, and don't come after the service because you won't be able to get me anyway, because I leave before they, you know, dismiss anyway. But God will judge you heavier with spiritual sins than he will do with physical sins. Because there's certain things, you know, you do. You go over here and pull this light down, take that out, and stick your finger in there, and that's a law. And something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You can put it in at 220, and when you break spiritual rules, electricity has certain rules to it to make it work. You counteract any of that, and you're going to have problems. And see, in 2005, when judgment hits the local church, I don't know about you, I'm going to have everything straight. I'm working on it right now. If there's anything in my life, I want to get attitudes right. I want to be in the will of God and what he's saying to me. He's dealing with me about things that I've let slip and so forth. Well, what is this? None of your business. Clean your own backyard. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So if we judge ourselves according to the Word of God and what it says in our marriages and every area of the church, people think, now listen to me, God, I'm going to say something, it's going to blow you out. It's going to blow tradition out. It's going to blow religion and rebellion out. God never uses sheep to rebuke leadership. Never. You can't find it in the Bible. God came to Moses to rebuke him because he was overworked and he was trying to, and he used his father-in-law, which was from another tribe, equal anointing or higher. Never did he use anybody in there, came upon anybody to rebuke him. Thank you for your great enthusiasm. Can you say amen? Never. You don't do it. Because you're breaking God's laws when you do that.
That's right.
Now, every one of us, we should be accountable to somebody. Our ministry should be checked. And that's why you see a lot of ministers get off, because they don't have nobody involved in their lives that give them checks. They're not come to their meetings, get involved, and they don't get checked. Through their preaching, through their private, being around them privately and listening and so forth like that. My spiritual father is Brother Hagin. And I go to his meetings. I'm at least 5 or 6 meetings a year. I spend the money to do it. I do it, and it's good. Because if there's anything that needs to be said, anything that needs to be corrected, praise God, I'll get it. Glory be to God. You understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So really, if you need a spanking, you could say the same thing. Thank you, brother. Thank you for keeping me straight. Can you say amen? But there's people in marriages that won't. They think they're right. Both of them think they're right, and you can't help them, and you wonder why they die premature. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. I said glory be to God. You're breaking the laws when a woman doesn't submit to her husband. Breaking the laws. And a wife not, a husband not loving his wife, you're breaking the house rules. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you want to go to heaven early, just don't walk in love with each other. And watch what happens. I don't care how great of an anointing you are. I don't care how great of a preacher you are. If you break these rules, you're not exempt from them just because you're a preacher or if you're in leadership. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. You know, selfishness. Am I doing all right, Pastor, here? Selfishness is a rule breaker. We're supposed to walk in love with one another. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. You know, I've been around people that are going to have the last word. You ever been around those people? The last word. They got to have the last word. I've been around preachers that you're having conversation and they butt in and they got to have the last word. And I say, you watch that fella. He won't live long because he's not courteous.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He don't yield.
You're right.
Different tonight than last night, huh? But these things need to be taught. I mean, there's so much more here that teachers ought to do and start sharing these things for people when this judgment comes, they'll be ready for it and they'll be clean and their lives, praise God. Glory be to God. Well, I had this young man. I was a young pastor. I didn't know much. I don't know if I know too much today, but I'm a little smarter in some things. And the more you get into it, the less you think you know you don't know. When I first started out, I knew everything. I like John Hagee. He's one of my favorite preachers. I don't agree completely on everything he says, but most of the stuff that he says I agree on. I just love his ministry. He was talking about raising kids. He said, when I got married, I knew everything. I came out of Bible school. I knew everything about raising children. He said, I got these girls and you know, boys and everything. He said, I knew everything. He said, you know what my prayer is today? Help, Lord, help! There's some fruit to that. Give me wisdom how to handle these situations. I want to tell you, when I was a teenager, there's a lot more pressure out there today than even when I was a teenager. Amen. And we got to raise them up. We got to protect them and watch over them, praise God. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Well, this young man, I'm getting back there. And this young man went to my Bible school. And he was great with children. He was just wonderful with children. At that time, we had about 250, almost 300 students, full-time Bible school. Matter of fact, Dad called me aside and he says, you know, that Bible school you got going out is of God. He said, God raised up Raymond and Ed Dufresne's out there. He said, that was of God. And we have people all over. Some are still with me, some are not, but there's ministers all over out of that Bible school. And he was in this Bible school. And he worked in our children's department with the children. And he was great with that children. He was single. He had a lust problem. You know, lust problem. And back in those days, you know, in the 70s, you know, charismatic and Corinthian, and we'd have time when everybody came out of their seats and hug one another and everything else. Now in our church, we teach people how to hug. We don't hug from stand up. I tell you, this is what, once in a while, we have a little class in front of us. Now, this is how you hug the opposite sex. You know, like that.
Right.
We don't hug. You got to teach people because they don't know. Can you say amen? I remember one girl, I don't know if I say this, I mean, she was doing the bumps and the grinds in her hugging. And she, of course, was just got saved and we had to teach her and something. But this young man knew better because he was in the Bible school. And what he did when he would hug the women, some of them he would fondle their breasts. Well, I got two husbands there in my office want to kill him. And when they told me I was going to kill him too, I said, let's get him. I was going to kill him too. See, anytime I have a staff that would do something like that or violating me, because everything I do, see, they're representing me. I said they're representing me. And I got to put up with that. And so the husband, and then he repented. He started crying. He said, I know I have a problem. And I said, all right, you're off of the team. And those two husbands, oh, no, don't do that, pastor. No. And they talked me into it to keep him. Well, 3 months later, I had three husbands in my office. Now he's completely fired. He's out of the church. See, he's violated. I mean, he just didn't violate another man's wife, but he violated me. Because he represents me. You got to realize that. For this cause. So I fired him, and he left and tried to steal my puppets because I paid for the puppets. He said they were his. I said, no, they're not. Now, you got to understand, I am getting better at it. But back then, I was still, even as a pastor, I had a lot of carnality. Now, what do you mean by temper? Not carnality running around with women. I'm talking about I still had a temper. Well, you know, I just learned to hard, you know, in the streets, you know, just hit them over the head and hit them first before they hit you. And I found out in the Bible I couldn't do that. I asked God, just let me have some time off and just let me. There's plenty of people I like to take in the back of the church to just whip the something at them. And if I couldn't whip them, get two big ushers to take care of them. Bam, 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 bam. I wish that was in God's rule book. Anyway, praise God. And that's what I wanted to do. I was so mad at him. And I fired him. And he went down the street to another church, another guy that I booted out of the church a year before, and he started his own church. Now, let me say this. Now, I can't say everything that needs to be said. It'd take a week to teach on some of these things. God never blesses a church when somebody goes right down the street out of your church and starts another one. The foundation is not right. The trouble with this generation, they don't have any ethics about them.
And within a week, he was on their team. That pastor never phoned me. Never phoned me to ask me or anything else. You know, it's amazing how some people will get hooked up with any dog. You know what I'm talking about? It's just absolutely amazing to see what this generation of preachers and what they're doing. Well, they all belong to God. No, they don't. I mean, they all, yeah, that's true. They all belong to God, but they don't belong to you unless God put them with you. Well, they all belong to God, so whatever we do to get them, whatever it takes. That's church growth. No, it isn't. It's stealing. There's sheep stealing going right now. There are flocks. I know Brother Hagin got in trouble with God. He was counseling people there at Raymond. They didn't have a church. You know, they were counseling people from other churches. And God told him, he said, things ain't right. Things, finances are stopping. And he went to God and God told him, he said, you're taking people out of another vineyard and counseling them. They should go to their own pastor. That's the reason they got problems. Because they're not going to their pastor. See, you got to discern. Now, this man was on my staff. Goes down the street and starts working with this other man. Then I found out one Sunday he was in the back. Because I don't know if you remember that. Well, the first building you came into, we had a shed that used to be to keep trucks and everything. That was the old Taco Bell, and they had trucks, garage back there, and we made it into a children's department. And he was going back there trying to recruit our children workers. Now, people do that. They did. There was a church, well, in Tulsa, that's a different deal. But in Tulsa, there's a big church down the street from Rhema. And Pastor Hagin helped the man and got him back on his feet. He went down the street and started a church. And phoned all the Rhema workers to come over and offered them a job. Now, young men ain't going to live long. See, anything you do, how is it going to affect the rest of the body? When the Lord told me to go back to California, I could not go back to my hometown. I could have had instant 250 people overnight from my old church, but I wasn't going to do it. Because how is it going to affect that pastor? How is it going to affect that home, that church home?
That's right.
That ain't my vineyard. When I left, I gave my place of authority of that place. Those people didn't belong to me anymore. You can't mess with another man's sheepfold. You don't hear this teaching today. You don't. I got a supposed to be a Word of Faith church in my town, hiring, phone and talking to our singers that come over and go to work for them. It's just, you know, like business, like a headhunter. Mm-hmm. They go out and try to headhunt and try to get somebody to pull whatever it takes. And that man's already had two bypass operations, that pastor. He's going to die if he don't stop it. Plus, talking about me, I'm not bothering him. When I went in that town, I never preached at this church. I phoned him and I told him what I was going to do. And I said, if any of your people come over here, I'll send them back. And I have. And unless they're, you know, they come to church, but if they're going to join, I'm going to find out why they left and everything else. And I have. I've sent some people back. They don't need to be over here. They need to be helping him. I'm clean. Different tonight, isn't it? Are you listening to me? And you notice you watch their health. You watch what happened to them and their health when they do that. Why? Because they're violating. They're violating this right here. When I go into a man's vineyard, if I'm going to pick the grapes from his vineyard, I'm going to have a relationship with him. I've got a relationship with this pastor. That's why I could take that offering for Russia and what we did for other expenses and mailing and everything else. That's what we'll use it for those meetings and whatever it takes for extra expenses. But I did because out of my relationship, because he said, Dad, you can do anything you want. I'm in this vineyard. He lets me pick the fruit. And he comes into my life, and I let him pick what he needs off of me. I let him in there. The room of the prophet, the Old Testament, come into the room of the prophet. And he started, this is how you do this, and this is how you do it, and this in the spirit, and this is what's wrong. And that's what they did when they went in the room of the prophet. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So that young man, the next Sunday, I let the music go longer, and he came in the door, and he turned white as a sheet. I wanted to co-cock that young kid so bad, knock him all away. That's the way we handled things before I got saved. And if you can't whip him, get a baseball bat or a car jack iron and hit him in the head, or get a beer bottle, hit him over the head. Sometimes you just wish you could do that and we can end it right there. Seems to me it's a lot clearer. I mean, I don't know how it goes over with God. And I told him, I said, if I catch you in this property again, I says, you see these two ushers? They're going to whip you. I said, they're going to be out here if you come by here again. You're out of line. He cussed me out. He went back. And a month later, he was going down the Harbor Freeway. He had one of these Volkswagen buses. I don't know, 19, 20 years old, going down there. And all of a sudden, the witnesses said, we don't know what happened. But that bus went like this. And it went over an embankment and rolled down, caught on fire. And the way that he was by himself, they identified the body is through his dental charts. I said, Lord, I was mad at him, but I didn't want you to kill him. He said, I didn't kill him. He says, I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh that his soul might be saved. The way he was going, he would eventually backslide. I said, Lord, I can't remember. I told you, I said, I can't handle that. I can't handle that. But through the years, see, I've seen it. I see ministers today that are violating other flocks. And you'll pay for it. I said, you'll pay for it. I said, you'll pay for it. The ministries that are not in love with the local church, traveling ministry, have ministries outside of the church, and if they don't point people towards the local church, they won't be here in 2007. Because God wept over the local church. He didn't weep over apostle. Probably he wept because the sheep didn't have any shepherd. And without a shepherd, you are scattered. I used to say that you're a bunch of scatterbrains if you don't have a pattern. My wife said, quit saying that. So I didn't say it. Just told you what I used to say. But you are. There's flaky Christians. And they're weak, and they're church tramps, because every year and a half they go to another church, and they go over this church, and they go over this church, and they're always in trouble, they're always in the prayer lines, and they always have a hero evangelist where they run to their meetings. And they never get healed, they give their money away, and they don't, nothing. It's because they violate the rules of the house. There's house rules. Everybody say house rules. I don't know. See, the Bible said he'll satisfy you with long life. Well, what does he mean by that? In other words, until you've lived your life out and you're satisfied, then go home. Instead of keeling over with a heart attack, cancer, or anything else. If I'm not working right, things are not working right in my body, I come to this scripture. I say, all right. It's not on your side. It's on my side. Where am I missing it? And I don't get under condemnation. I don't get, everything I do, I must be doing something wrong. No, I just say, where is it? Where am I missing it? I remember one time he dealt with me because I had ill feeling towards another preacher. You can't have ill feeling towards your leader and live long. And he dealt with me about it. And you got to be careful talking about preachers. I could tell you story after story. Here's another story. I had a man that we had back in those days in our first church that I had. We had a Christian school, and every time we'd have parents, what do you call those meetings where the parents and the kids come and the faculty, huh? Yeah, and we'd have that kind of a meeting, and there was always this one man that would get up and just really put the school down and all this and that and you teachers. And he was one of them and never paid his bill. Yeah, he didn't pay his bill, so the school's bad because we're done. Well, to operate, we need you to, It's amazing how ugly people can get when they owe you money. And they get mad and leave the church because they owe us money. We're just trying to help them with their kids. It's ridiculous. I said, Lord, this school you gave me is nothing but a headache. He said, I never gave it to you. You did it because you went to Tulsa and they told you everybody should have one. Anyway, because, that school started in churches at first. Anyway, moving right along. So I thought I was in the will of God. I did it because somebody else was doing it. You got to be careful to do something because somebody else. You do it because God tells you to do it. Anyway, he was a constant troublemaker. See, he wasn't discerning what is he doing. He's causing strife in that school and doesn't, and see, that's wrong. He's not discerning how is it, what is it going to cause. You should bring harmony. You should bring love in the local church. Not bring attention to yourself. And one day I picked up the paper and they said, drug bust, man shot. And I was reading out there, the one killed. And it was that man. There was a drug bust, but they had the wrong address, and the drug bust was going to be next door to this guy, but they busted his door down, and he had a gun. He was that type of guy. He had a gun, and when they come, he thought it was a intruder, and when the cops broke the door down, he had that gun, and of course they shot him right through his heart. I don't know, I went to his funeral. Right through his heart, they shot him. I said, Lord. He said he didn't have no protection because he didn't discern that he was troubled. And I turned his body over to Satan for the destruction of flesh, that his soul might be saved. Yeah. There's many ministers that have went that way because of their doctrines and they were leading the body of Christ. See, Jesus is very protected over his church. Thank you for your wonderful enthusiasm tonight. And I know you're eating, you can't say anything. But I could tell you a story. Ministries. What's the man there in Chicago around the turn of the century had a big healing? Dowie. Dowie died premature. And he was in a healing evangelist and he started to try to build cities. You know, we're the salt of the earth. We don't need to get off by ourselves in the city of Christians. And he started doing that, and he got out of the will of God. And then he said he was the last day Elijah. And he was spreading that in the body of Christ, and he died in a wheelchair, crippled up. Even the mighty miracles that that man had. But he was leading the body of Christ off into a ditch. Hallelujah. And you know, one time I said, Lord, in the first church where I got saved, I said, Lord, all those deacons, I used to be a deacon, they're all dead, and they died in their 50s. They said, yeah, they were running the pastor. A board don't run the pastor. A board's supposed to come and help him and do things, but they don't run. The final decision maker is the head of that local body. And one guy come to our church, well, I want to know, if I'm going to put my tithes in here, I want to know, do you have an advisory board that watches over the money? I said, I watch over the money. I'm the head of this ministry. I have other people that speak into my life. I have a CPA that comes in and checks anything, see if there's any, make sure everything is going right. I had one guy come to me, and he said, when I first started pastoring, he kept saying to me, he said, I could do a better job. And it bothered me. I was just a young man. I just started out, and I'd go back to the house, and I said, well, maybe, you know, I messed up my words and different things, because I used to stutter when I started out. Stephen, now he don't stutter no more, but my son Stephen stuttered the same way I did when I was a kid. And I'd stutter, and some people would laugh at me because, you know, you're up there preaching. And I'd go back to the house, and the devil just beat me up, man. Have you ever had the devil beat you up? Just beat you up, but you're not a good preacher. You're not what you shouldn't have said. That you shouldn't say. I like what Smith Wigglesworth, when I heard him say this, it settled for me. He said, when I leave that pulpit, I leave it there. I leave the sermon, everything I said right there, and I don't touch it with my mind. It's a good point. And this guy came up, and he kept coming up. And one day I was crying. I mean, I was just being a baby about it. And I said, well, maybe I'm not a very good preacher, you know. And the Lord said, stand up, man of God. You run that church. I put you in that church. I put you the head of it. I didn't put him. Well, you letting him get to... So next time he came to me, and I knew what he was going to say, and he opened his mouth, and he said, I know you could do a better job, but the difference between you and me, I'm anointed to be here and you're not, so don't let the door hit you on the way out. I've been bold ever since. See, if you're staff, you're not going to get away with it. If you're a sheep, you're not going to get away talking about the pastor and not honoring him or anything else. You're going to be in trouble. Those are the house rules. I didn't write it. Don't look at me that way. And it goes all the way down to our marriages and every area of our lives. There's house rules. Can you say amen?
Ed Dufresne Ministries is reaching out through a worldwide traveling ministry, miracle and healing crusades, Bible teachings on audio and videotapes and books, evangelistic tent crusades, and a Bible correspondence course for prisoners. Dr. Ed Dufresne is the founder of World Harvest Bible Training Center located in Murrieta, California, a part-time Bible school dedicated to training believers in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you would like information about our teaching materials, Bible school, or about becoming a partner with Ed Dufresne Ministries, please write us at P.O. Box 1010, Murrieta, California, 92564. Also, visit our website at www.eddufresne.org. At Ed Dufresne Ministries, we're believing God for 1 million miracles and healings as we carry God's healing power to this generation.